Our scripture today that's the basis of a sermon is Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. As Jesus and the disciples were moving about from village to village, town to town, there was in one city a prominent Pharisee. His name was Simon. And Simon prevailed upon the master to come and dine with him. Now, strange as it might seem at first, Jesus agreed to go. The reason why it was strange is because the Pharisees despised Jesus. But Jesus was just as willing to eat with Pharisees as he was willing to eat with tax collectors and sinners. Now, no doubt that this would be a less comfortable setting to be in the company of those who condemned Jesus. But the fact that Jesus went is a mark of his magnanimous character, that he would give himself of whoever asked of him. As we go through the story, the subsequent events will lead us to understand that Christ knew full well the excitement that was going to be generated on this day by his visit in the home of Simon the Pharisee. It was going to be a memorable day for the host Simon, a memorable day for Jesus, and a memorable day for an uninvited stranger who had come stumbling in off the streets. She was what the gospel accounts would just simply say or call a sinner. In modern vernacular, we'd say she was a prostitute. It's commonly thought that this woman who comes in off the street, this sinner, is none other than Mary Magdalene herself. Elsewhere in the Bible, we see that Jesus had already had an encounter with her where he cast seven demons out of her. And this young lady who had been set free from the life of prostitution and demonic possession had become one of Jesus' most ardent and faithful and adoring followers. This is the same woman who would be the very first to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus after he had risen from the dead. So on this particular day, Jesus and Simon, along with notable guests, they're reclining on soft cushions, they're eating a sumptuous meal, and this beautiful young girl steps into the room. Softly, swiftly, without hardly anyone noticing, she slips over behind Jesus. I can just see her standing there with silent sobs, great, hot, uncontrollable tears are trickling down her face and over her smooth, flushed cheeks to fall on the feet of Jesus. Now, the feet of Jesus, they were dusty. They had been soiled by long miles on the hot, dusty road. The fact that Jesus was in the house with dusty feet is surprising. Because normally, a guest was given water with which to wash his feet. But Simon, the host, had such contempt for Jesus that he had denied Jesus this simple common courtesy. And yet here is this girl, her whole frame shaking with sobs, tears falling on the dusty feet of Jesus. And she stoops down and lets her long raven locks fall over the feet of Jesus. Her tears are flowing freely, bathing his skin, washing away the dust. And she takes her hair, her lustrous, lovely hair, and she dries the feet of Jesus. And then she began to kiss those feet in moving contrition. What she was doing that day was an act of the most profound homage. This was louder and clearer than anything else she might have said. She was proclaiming to all who were present there, "I am your lifelong servant. I belong to you and you alone forever." But she wasn't finished. In a moving gesture of utmost gratitude, she broke open a jar of extremely costly perfume and she poured it over the feet of Jesus. You can just smell the perfume that filled the room, bathing the feet of Jesus. Those dear, precious feet of her master. The feet that had brought him into her town, that had brought him into her life, that had brought him to this house. The whole house began soon to smell of the perfume. To Christ, in his nostrils, it was the fragrance of gratitude. It was the incense of worship. But for Simon, it was a scurrilous scandal. You know how people in Jesus' day saw him, just like in our day, depends on the point of view from which they were looking at Jesus from. For Simon, Jesus was an object of curiosity. Simon had heard about this wonder-working teacher from Nazareth, and he wanted to have Jesus in his house as a celebrity to show off to his friends. Simon was thinking this was going to put him up a notch on the social ladder, to be able to say that he had had such a famous celebrity in his house. But in his heart, Simon was thinking that Jesus was nothing more than a charlatan, a fake of the lowest order. Well, that was one thing about being a Pharisee that you could do. You see, as a Pharisee, you could not only be phony in your words, but you could be phony in your actions. And so here is Simon. And he is pretending to be terribly humiliated by this prostitute's presence in his home. And Simon begins to say in his heart, if this man were truly a prophet, if he was a true man of God, he would know what sort of woman this is that is touching him. But quite obviously, Jesus isn't a man of God, because he doesn't seem to know who this is, and he's still allowing her to bathe and perfume his feet. But there was one thing that Simon did not understand. Simon did not know that Jesus knew this young woman very well. In fact, I think they all knew one another very well. Don't you see, it's no coincidence that this young lady, who was an outcast of society, had the freedom to walk right into this Pharisee's house? She's been there before. The household servants know who she is and they let her right in. You see, this pious old pretender was probably one of her most frequent customers. And all he could do at this point was to play act to cover up. Take on the role of a man suddenly scandalized by her appearance. He's a complete phony. But before all this, before the banquet, before the breaking of the expensive alabaster box of perfume, Jesus and this woman had met. That meeting was destined to change her life forever. For the first time, she found love from a man that wasn't erotic love. It wasn't brotherly love, even, in which she just sensed a friendly sympathy for her lowly position in society. In her meeting with Jesus previously, for the first time in her life, she had met the very love of God. It's the kind of love that Christ spoke of so often. A selfless, self-giving love, the agape love, the only kind of love, or the kind of love that only God can have. In Jesus, she probably found a man for the first time in her life that didn't exploit her. She probably found a man who didn't take her for the first time for his own self-satisfaction. A man who wouldn't use her to indulge his own sagging ego. She was never the same after that. For you see, in Jesus, she found someone who loved her for her own sake. She met someone who saw through her tough exterior and saw the heart that was reaching out for love. And she also found in Jesus someone who would set her free from the dungeon of self-centeredness that she had lived in. For you see, just as she had been exploited, she was an exploiter of men as well. She had traded her exploitation of men for money. But Jesus was different. In Jesus, she finally got a glimpse of what God was like, of his generous forgiveness and what God could make out of her. She, in fact, met a man who was God. Her encounter with Jesus had been the great crisis in her life. And after coming face to face with Jesus, she could never and would never be the same again. Mary had been transformed. Remade. Her purity has been restored to her. And her spirit has been born again. And so on this day, the tears that are flowing down her cheeks, they're not tears of sadness or grief. They're tears of joy, tears of gratitude, tears of known forgiveness. And so as she's washing his feet with her tears and bathing him with the perfume and drying his feet with her hair, she was saying, "You are the Lord of my life." Now, from the account that we're given here in Luke chapter 7, she never says a word in the entire story. Did you notice that? As you read through it, I hope. But her actions spoke more clearly and more penetrating than anything that might have come from her lips. It's not surprising that in these moments, Jesus turns and he looks full into the girl's flushed face and shining eyes. And I believe that Jesus didn't see remorse. I think Jesus looked into her eyes and saw radiant expectancy. I think that in her reborn spirit, her eyes were beginning to leap with joy and relief. And Jesus says to her, "You're forgiven. You're remade. Go in peace." Poor old Simon. This has been a most difficult day for him. He had no idea he was going to get himself in such hot water, such trouble, simply by just inviting Jesus for a little social affair. Simon never dreamed that a man like Jesus could see straight through him. You see, Simon was a man who had been able to run a bluff past people for years and years. But he couldn't bluff. He couldn't fool this teacher who called himself the Son of Man, but whom his followers fiercely called the Son of God. So here is Jesus. He's keeping his eyes, his gaze fixed on the young woman at his feet. But then he directs his remarks to Simon. And when you read through the Bible, the words of Jesus are like a knife cutting away the mask that he's hiding behind. Do you really see this woman, Simon? Do you really see her as she is now? Simon, do you see a sinner or do you see a saint? Do you, Simon, vaguely even understand the spiritual transaction that has taken place? You know, Simon, you're a Pharisee. You're supposed to understand all things spiritual. Simon, you ought to be able to comprehend what's going on. But Simon couldn't. Simon, much like his contemporary Nicodemus that we are introduced to in John chapter 3, like so many others, even in our day, who are steeped in deep knowledge of the Scripture and know about all the theology, people who seem to know everything there is to know about God, but are lacking one thing: they don't know God. There's a world of difference. You see, the abused and humiliated guest on this day was God. Jesus, God, had come into his house. But Simon wouldn't recognize him, and Simon couldn't recognize him. Simon, I, God, very God, came into your home today as an invited guest. You didn't even offer me a basin of cool water to refresh my tired, aching feet. You know, Simon, that's the very least courtesy you could offer to a stranger. But your actions were an intentional snub. But Simon, your omission was more than made up for by the tender tears of a contrite young lady. Simon, to him who knows to do good but doesn't do it, it is sin. Simon, you didn't have a towel for my feet. But this young lady has taken the crowning glory of her own gorgeous hair and wiped away the dirt and the sweat. Simon, don't you know? Let him that would be greatest among you become the least. Simon, you couldn't condescend to kiss my cheek in greeting as I crossed the threshold of your home. For after all, it'd be too humiliating for you to be seen by your associates to welcome someone like me off the dusty streets of your town. You just save your kisses, your greetings for your very special friends and family who can return the compliment. But Simon, my feet have been caressed by the soft lips of this lovely young woman who has found true love. Simon, don't you know? You ought to be careful when you entertain strangers. Because some folks, without knowing it, have entertained angels. And in your case, Simon, you've entertained God himself. Simon, couldn't you find it within your heart to share just a few drops of olive oil to refresh my hair and my face? It wouldn't be much for you to do that for a common man. But for such a proud, rich ruler like you, it'd be debasing. But yet here's this humble woman who has anointed my feet with the most costly of perfumes. Simon, the fragrance of that perfume envelops this whole room, including your own shriveled, dried out, dead soul. Simon, freely she is forgiven, and freely she has given. Her gratitude makes it so apparent that she knows God. On this day, Simon had to search his own soul as he never had before. He had to ask himself, what were his motives? Where was he going? Could he, like the young woman, go in peace? What are your motives? Where are you going? Can you go in peace? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story in your word. Calls us to examine our hearts. Lord, we can't pretend before you. You see right through it. You desire to take away the worst that is in us. Place it with your grace and love. Father, speak to us by your Spirit as we're bowed down before you like this young lady. Lord, give us a heart of gratitude, of worship and adoration. Father, for any phoniness that we may have, by your Holy Spirit, cut away the mask we hide behind. And let us examine what's going on in our hearts. And the things that are not dedicated to you and your service, remove them. Father, let the fragrance of our lives be a fragrance of gratitude, a sacrifice of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to have our invitation.